This is First Coast Forum, a discussion of the top local issues in our community. We welcome your opinions. Email your comments or suggestions to firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a public service program of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the First Coast Forum. My name is Megan, and today on the show, I have Marty Boehm. Marty, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You are the clinical director of Shining Stars Applied Behavior Analysis. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. So we're going to talk about our topic today is autism. And what can you explain to people who may not be aware, what is autism and what causes it?
Well, the cause is actually still unknown, but autism is like persistent deficits in social communication, and kind of it can also be restrictive or repetitive patterns of behavior, basically a social deficit.
Okay. So what are the, like, what exactly do you do as the clinical director?
So as a clinical director, I oversee behavior analysts performing treatment plans and laying out the plans for treating autism using ABA therapy. And we have registered behavior technicians that apply the therapy that the BCBAs prescribe.
Okay. And what, again, for some people that may not be aware of any of the signs, what are some of the signs that you maybe first see with autism?
So, well, the doctor usually does regular screenings at 18 months and again at 24 months. But around 18 months is a lot of times where we see some of the setbacks. And what we're looking for is avoiding eye contact, little interest in other children or maybe caretakers, limited language as compared to their peers. They might get upset over minor changes in routine or activities.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay. Do you feel like these signs are sometimes missed?
I believe sometimes the parents think, you know, oh, maybe it's just taking a little longer. And sometimes it does take a little longer,
right?
Especially in boys to obtain some of these skills. My biggest advice, though, is to ask the doctor and bring it up. It's worth the conversation because the early intervention is so powerful and it's so successful that if there is autism there, you want to make sure you get targeted right away and get some intervention started.
So there's a huge benefit, you're saying, to, you know, kind of discovering it early on.
Yes. Yes. And if you're not sure about it, just bring it up. I know it's a very difficult conversation to have.
Right.
And it can be very difficult for parents to understand.
Right.
Or to even, to accept sometimes that,
Both,
child has a deficit. But that early intervention is so crucial that they can catch their children up to where, you know, it depends on the child, of course, but they can catch them up to where the best potential that they can have as a child with autism.
Right.
And so I tell parents all the time, if you aren't sure, ask, bring it up, and get a screening done, and then you'll know for sure and you can take the next step.
Right. It's better to not be, you know, kind of in denial in a way. I can't even imagine like how it feels, but it's better to know so that you can accurately, you know, address it up front right away.
Yes. And between 18 months and 5 years old is, you know, the brain plasticity is strong. There's a lot of potential for learning. And so in that time frame, it's the best time to target autism with ABA therapy.
Okay. What does it mean to be on the spectrum? Because I think there really is like a lot of misconception about, you know, autism in general. Like people don't fully understand. There's just different, you know, different people struggle with different things. So I think that there just really is a lot of like people don't really know what it is, right?
Yes. And in a sense, none of us really know in full detail what this really is. We have the guide, the Diagnostic Statistic Manual of 5th Edition, and it lays out the guide of how to diagnose autism. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty accurate when the psychologists follow the DSM-5 as far as diagnosing. But in reality, we don't know everything there is to know. and we can't know what we don't know.
Right.
So we just know to look for those persistent deficits in social communication and the restrictive and repetitive behaviors.
So
at this time,
is that what it means to be on the spectrum? Then is just to kind of look for those behaviors.
It's laid out by the DSM-5, and I'm not sure exactly what the criteria is. But I'm a BCBA. I don't diagnose. The psychologist
okay.
has to diagnose. So, but the DSM-5 does lay out the criteria, and I believe you have to have two or three of their criteria to be able to be diagnosed with autism.
Okay. Can you describe what Asperger's syndrome is for people?
So it's actually an old diagnosis that was part of the DSM-4.
Oh, okay.
In 2013, they redid the diagnostic manual, and they got rid of, I guess not got rid of, but they included Asperger's as part of the spectrum of autism.
Okay.
And it's basically just higher functioning autism. It's more of those social deficits rather than severe communication, nonverbal, severe problem behaviors like head banging, biting, self-injurious behavior.
Oh,
that's
okay.
all more on the spectrum, further down on the spectrum. But to be high on the spectrum, you might not even notice. My nephew has autism, and you have to talk to him for quite a while before you realize something's not quite perfect socially.
Right.
And that's kind of where I say where Asperger's lies is that higher end of the function or higher end of the spectrum.
Is that kind of why you started doing this? Is because of your nephew?
And myself.
Oh, okay.
I had some problem behaviors as a child. I was a foster child.
Oh,
and
wow.
I saw a lot of benefit coming from kind of giving grace where those problem behaviors are. I don't believe there's any bad children. I think that there's behaviors trying to communicate something, whether it's a frustration or an ability to communicate it in another way.
Right.
And it's our job to kind of teach those children how to communicate properly and get their needs expressed without hurting themselves or others.
Right. And it's more about just understanding why they're feeling the way that they're feeling and helping them, you know, kind of work through that, I imagine.
And that's exactly what ABA is. We look for the function of the behavior. Why is it happening?
Right.
And then we kind of look for the replacement. What can they do instead of what they're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
And then we eliminate the problem behavior and increase those helpful behaviors that can help them communicate or socially interact better.
Does autism affect more boys or girls?
It affects more boys.
Really?
Definitely more boys.
I did not know that.
And I don't think anyone really understands why at this time. We just know that the numbers are much higher in boys.
Right, like statistically.
Yes.
So you have no idea why. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and there's a lot of mysteriousness, I guess, around autism. There's still a lot to learn about it. But we know what we know right now, and we're the only scientifically supported evidence-based practice now is ABA therapy.
Okay.
And it works very well for children with autism.
So what is ABA therapy?
Technically, it's the study of behavior in all living organisms.
Okay.
So it's used at SeaWorld to train dolphins.
Okay.
You know how they train the dolphins and they reinforce with their little fish.
Right.
You know, it's used in organizations to help people perform better. And it's also used in autism, foster care, for problematic behaviors. So it's used in a lot of different forms. It's just behavior of living organisms. But what we focus on with children with autism is increasing those socially significant behaviors, improving the communication and the social skills, and also you can improve learning as well.
So is it just kind of per situation is different as far as the ABA therapy goes? Like there's no kind of one way for every person?
There's no one way. There's a few curriculums that people follow,
right.
But a lot of times everyone is individualized.
Okay.
So we have the VDMAP curriculum and we have the ABLES curriculum and all these things that help guide us
mm-hmm.
as practitioners. But in the end, you know, I had a client who would sit down in a chair for more than 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you teach someone a skill but they can't even sit down in the chair?
Right.
So that's actually a prerequisite skill that wasn't included in my assessments.
Right.
So I actually created a goal for that child to be able to sit and reinforce sitting. And then eventually she was able to sit for a long period of time and learn.
Do you feel like you have to
definitely individualized.
Right. Like, do you feel like you have to always kind of be adapting for situations like this and changing? Because, I mean, obviously no single person, whether you are diagnosed with autism or not, is the same. So obviously, yeah. You know, it's just, I'm sure you have to kind of keep evolving in a way.
We do. And actually, I use the term flexible brain. We have a curriculum called Superflex for some social skills and working on rigidity. And I joke all the time that my staff also have to have those flexible brains because everything is constantly changing.
Yeah.
According to what the child needs.
Right. That's really for everybody in all different,
yeah.
No matter what's yeah. going on. So I do feel like there is a lot of like I said before, misconception, a lot of misunderstanding. Do you believe that someone with autism can lead a quote, air quotes, normal life?
Absolutely. And I know that it's a spectrum. I know that some have more difficulties in some areas than others. But if I think about my nephew, he's going to welding school. And
what?
He wants to be, he had his own forge and wanted to make knives. And he does it. And he does it really well.
It's amazing.
And, you know, it's his little niche and it's what he really likes. And,
yeah.
of course, it's a fixated interest because that's part of his autism. But that actually benefits him. So I think there are some benefits, too. You can't say it's a disability all in one. You
no.
know, there are a lot of benefits to disabilities too. Even people with high anxiety are high performers because of that anxiety. You know, there's
right.
advantages and disadvantages to anything. And it's technically called a disability, but I feel like there's a lot of advantages that they have as well.
And that makes them who they are, you know, to a certain extent,
yeah.
right? Like, that's a part of his personality now that he likes welding, you know what I mean? Like, you would never want him to be different. You know?
No. And he's an amazing young man. And, you know, we had a kiddo come through here a few years ago. He had three words and he just transitioned to preschool and he's going to be on his own for the first time. And I cannot be more proud, you
right.
know, of the work and the accomplishment he's made through his time here. And I know that he's going to lead a much more, I don't want to say normal, but like a much more integrated into society.
Right.
A life that's more integrated and more social, and he's able to communicate better now. You know, he's
yeah.
not to say he won't have problems down the line. He may have some things that pop up and maybe just a little more ABA therapy here or there, but he's ready to go into the world. It's very nice to see the progress that they can make.
Do you feel like you have a lot of success stories that come out of this that you can think of?
Yes, absolutely. And I do have a few where I look back and I'm like, what could I have done better?
Right.
They're not progressing as fast as I look. Like they started regressing for no reason and I can't figure it out. You know, so there's a few of those where I'm just like, oh man, I wish I could have done better for this case. But there's a lot of proud stories too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and again, like we're all human, right? Like we can
yeah.
beat ourselves up over anything, but it's just a matter, you're making a huge difference, obviously, especially when you see these success stories. Is there any one way that someone is diagnosed? Like, I know you mentioned that there's certain things that you look for, but is it, like we said before, kind of everybody's different?
You know, I think that the best resource you could probably look at is, AutismSpeaks.org has, an autism diagnostic criteria.
Okay.
And if you look through that, it kind of lays out the DSM-5 in layman's terms so that parents can really understand, what it means.
Right.
So, that's a good resource to kind of look at. As far as what specifically to look at for diagnosis, that lack of eye contact and lack of language
are
the major ones.
Okay. And then if somebody is, you know, noticing that within their child or something, how does, I mean, obviously you speak with a doctor or whatever, but is there mm-hmm. Shining Stars does help with these things? And I know we already kind of said this, but there's every child or person is different, but how is Shining Stars kind of helping with those? In those ways.
Well, as far as the diagnostic portion, mm-hmm. we have a few people that we refer to, but we don't do the diagnosis here in-house. We just do the therapy.
Okay.
But we have a couple of psychologists out in the community. Max Horowitz is one of them. He's very good with diagnosing and finding out exactly what level of autism they have. There's three levels of autism in the DSM-5. So they can they let us know what's going on, what they recommend, and then they send them over to us where we do our formal assessment here to find out where their deficits are.
Right.
And where we can help fill those deficits. So yeah, the diagnostic part is kind of the first portion. And yes, it starts with a primary care doctor. They do the natural screenings at 18 or 24 months. But if you have concerns, bring it up. And
right.
Don't be afraid to call a developmental specialist, psychologist for an evaluation, because evaluations don't hurt. Mm-hmm. If anything, you find out there's nothing going on and everything's great, you know. And
yeah.
if not, you find out that something's right, and then it comes with the next step. And the next step is making it better, trying anything we can to fix the lack of communication or the lack of social skills.
Is there any certain amount of, like, is every child different? How long do they typically spend with you guys?
Oh, it's very individualized.
Okay. I figured. I feel like most of the questions I'm asking you are, but I was just curious.
It is. And I've seen kids in 2 years from 2 to 4 years old graduate, I guess, in quotes, from ABA. I hate saying graduate, because a lot of times they need to come back to sharpen some other skills later. But
right.
there are kiddos who are in ABA therapy the majority of their lives. And it's helpful for functional living skills and things like that as well.
Right, as they grow up and things change, and, you know, you have to adapt to different things as you get older. So I imagine it's only just a very helpful tool, you know, going to you guys, no matter, you know, how long it is.
Yeah. Little skills, potty training even, can be exceptionally difficult.
Okay.
We have a lot of research, practices that we can try here at the clinic, and we have a lot of success with that.
So it's really all over the map. Like, you guys can really kind of cater it to whoever you are, you know, working with.
It is. And there's a lot of research to be done. As
mm-hmm.
BCBAs or behavior analysts, we run across things that we have never seen before, and we have to go to the research and figure out where to go. And it's very much a field where we collaborate. I'm friends with a lot of BCBAs, and if I have a question about an older kiddo, I know who I go to.
Right.
You know, if I have a question with social skills, I know where I'm going to go talk to somebody about it. And we all collaborate pretty well together in this community too.
It's teamwork. Yeah, I love it. I really respect what you do. I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, you're like really helping out in the community. So I think it's awesome. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you wanted to share, you wanted to talk about as far as, you know, autism or the Shining Stars or anything?
Well, Shining Stars is a veteran-owned company.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Eric's mother started this company, and he took it over when she passed away. And he's done a really good job maintaining what her dream was from the start.
Mm-hmm.
We provide in-home, in-school, and then community therapy. And we also partner with Playworks therapy for speech and occupational therapy. So they come here because, you know, a lot of times parents with autism are driving to 5 different therapies. And it's kind of nice to be able to have it all in one house. So we do provide OT and speech here as well to make sure that parents aren't running around all day.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know you mentioned a couple of websites that people could use as resources. Could you tell everyone what your website is? They want to learn more. And I think there was another one, or I don't know if that was on your website where you said there's kind of the things to look for.
Oh, yes. AutismSpeaks.org has the autism diagnostic criteria.
Okay.
It just basically it breaks down the DSM-5 a little better for parents to understand. Because sometimes I feel like we talk in very technical terms and the parents just look at us sideways. So I like that.
Absolutely.
The website breaks it down very clearly.
Okay, cool.
And then our website here is ShiningStarsABA.com.
Okay.
And we invite people to come take tours of the clinic and come check us out. We like to have low caseloads here and focus as much on our cases as possible. So
that's great.
I've really enjoyed working it for this company.
Awesome. Marty, well, thank you so much for sharing all that. I learned so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me and for bringing awareness to autism during Autism Awareness Month.
Of course.
You've been listening to First Coast Forum, a weekly public affairs program devoted to the top local issues in our community. If you have a comment or suggestion for a topic we should explore, our email is firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. That's firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a production of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.